Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids, some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
I'm Alec Baldwin. Listen to my podcast, Here's the Thing, on iHeartRadio. It's my chance to talk with artists, policymakers, and performers.
I always like to say I like being an actress, but I love being Kristen. So I've prioritized that a little bit more than my desire to spread my wings or prove to people that I can be some dramatic actress.
If you like listening as much as I like talking with interesting people, go to heresthething.org and subscribe now on the iHeart app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenzi, and I hate football. What a pile of crap that was. Congratulations to Alabama. You guys are dominant. You kick ass. You're great. All of that is true. Ryan Day, I don't know, bro. I don't know why you quit. I don't know why you gave up in this football game, because that's exactly what you did. I mean, listen, the Ohio State Buckeyes, I didn't think they were going to be able to stop Alabama. All right? I bet the over the game. But I didn't think that Ohio State was going to punt 14 times. You ever heard of going for it? Hey, coach, you ever heard of going for it? You know, seriously, these guys are down 21 points. They're running the football. No sense of urgency whatsoever from Ohio State. Justin Fields is a warrior. The kid got beat up pretty good through the playoffs and held through the entire year. I'm not throwing any of the kids on Ohio State under the bus. And I'll tell you right now, the fact that Trey Sermon got hurt on the first play of the game, that helped. Listen, the football gods don't like Ohio State. It is what it is. This is what I get for betting on a team that I hate. And, But I thought that there'd be more points put up on the board. Ohio State team total, 31.5. I don't know. Maybe I would have had a puncher's chance if we didn't have two damn touchdowns called back to back. That could not have been more torturous. I've had a lot of bad beats over the years, man, but that was a pile of crap right there, all right? That, like I said, that's the Joan Collins special. That's the Joan Collins special that we talk about, all right? That's the Khloe Kardashian special. Seriously, I feel like Khloe Kardashian after the NBA All-Star weekend, not good. And, I'm going to be walking strangely for the next couple of weeks after this. I had over 80.5, pretty big play. And I've got Chris Olave to score a touchdown. He scored the touchdown. That's a touchdown. The foot was down. Ooh, the ball moved. Yeah, the ball moved. Thanks. Incredibly frustrating, but congratulations to Alabama. They're a great, great program. Saban's a great coach. And one thing with Alabama is they could be a bunch of cocky, dickheads, but they're not. Like, they're actually not. They're not even, like, they're very humble. They're not an arrogant team. So it's not as if though it's like, oh, God, these kids are annoying. They're really not annoying. Complete dominance. These guys have taken over college football. You know, we have programs that sort of come and go that are good for a couple of years, but, man, what Nick Saban...
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's no secret that our current healthcare system is broken. We're often taught to avoid the doctor unless we're already sick. This is where Forward comes in. Forward doctors deliver personalized insights to put you on the path to better health. And they're based right here in the San Francisco Bay Area. Forward doctors actually spend time listening and getting to know you. Using real-time blood results and genetic analysis, they build a preventative plan with you to mitigate any health risk. And the best part? Forward doctors make it easy by guiding you through small changes to your lifestyle today to achieve long-term results. With the latest technology and tools, Forward's high-caliber team of doctors deliver cutting-edge preventative care. Whether it's finding the root cause of a new problem, managing a condition, or building a plan to achieve your wellness goals, at Forward, your healthiest self is just around the corner. Better yet, Forward doctors help you find exactly what your genes say about your health. It's time to listen to what your body is telling you. Go to GoForward.com today to get the insights you need to put you on the path to better health. That's GoForward.com.
You're listening to a different kind of sports talk.
We're not just talk about sports,
but talk about sports you can use. Get the winning edge. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Yeah, Mo, that team sure did suck last night. They just plain sucked. Well, I've seen teams suck before, but they were the suckiest bunch of sucks that ever sucked.
Nice on, Gabe.
Late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenzi. I think the Krusty the Clown, Krusty, you took all your money and bet against the Harlem Globetrotters would have been better. Like, seriously. I think the Harlem Globetrotters have lost more games than Nick Saban has, man, in like the last 10 years. Steve Merrill just posted a tweet. Would you take Alabama plus 28 against the Jags or the Jets? And I would tell you right now, people always talk about this stuff. Any NFL team would smash the best college team, but 28 points is a lot. Alabama plus 28 would be pretty tempting. I'll tell you that. So listen, we hit the over, we lose the teasers, we lose the team total with Ohio State. That's all fine. It is what it is, but what frustrating to me, what the most frustrating part of this game to me was like the over 80.5 bet I had. Oh, we're at 76, and I could have cashed out too at plus money. We could have cashed out, and I'm like, ah, they'll score another touchdown. They scored two touchdowns. I think the first one pissed me off. Listen, I had so magic. I got over 80.5, and I have a lobby to score a touchdown. That's two bets I would have won on one play. And, you know, it was really frustrating because they already scored a touchdown. And I really think the first one should have counted even more than Olave should have counted. All right? But, hey, it is what it is. I guess we got lucky yesterday when the Bears scored late. So, you know, I guess it all evens out, except, God, that was frustrating. Let's bring in Paul Bovey right now. Maybe Paul can make me feel better. Covers.com in the house. Mr. Paul Bovey, what's up, Paul?
Hey, Gabe, look, first of all, I want to point out something. I got full information that you put your first bet in well before 1981. I have a secret communication line to your kindergarten teacher, and she tells me you were pitching pennies against the wall and were taking bets. But you know, I'm not going to make you feel better on this one because Alabama does take the air out of the ball. They've been known to do that. 14 points against Arkansas in the second half, 10 against LSU. But I don't agree with you. I don't think either of those two were conclusive in terms of touchdowns. And I did have a small wager on Alabama over 52, but I did come in with the team total second half at a very inflated number of 23. The toe tap, the second one, I thought that they actually could have called the touchdown, but the first one, I think clearly he was bobbling it as he went out of bounds.
Thanks, Commissioner. Commissioner Paul Bovey with us. I am Gabe Morenzi. We're throwing at that. You know, though, Paul, it just bothers me. I hate that rule. You know, in the old days, we didn't have this problem. You know what I mean? Guys used to bobble the ball all the time, man. They would bobble the ball all the time, and, you know, it would be a catch. If the ball didn't hit the ground, it was good. You know, nowadays, man, it's always, oh, did he have full possession? Did the ball move? It is what it is. I get it. And listen, and it was frustrating, too, on top of that, Fields had a guy open on fourth down, and then he drills it, right? He throws a fastball for one reason or another.
Look, he could have, you could make an argument, he could have scampered right into the end zone, but certainly he put the mustard on it, threw it behind him. Look, the guy is a warrior. He's played well. Simple mistake, but unfortunately at 80 and a half, it cost you, and it would have actually benefited me on the score. But look, I took the over 38 and a half. I laid $1.40. I didn't have to do that. I could have laid the 41, 42. I just thought Alabama had too much, and they just did. I mean, this Ohio State team never impressed me against Indiana, Rutgers. Pemex threw for 500 yards, and I think they got too much credit last week when they shut down Clemson, and a lot of it had to do with the pressure they put on Trevor Lawrence, but he still threw for 400 yards. And Mac Jones this year, to me, was superior to Trevor Lawrence, and he showed it tonight.
Mac Jones's passing yard prop was 365 and a half. He finishes with 464 yards, 5 touchdown passes, no interceptions. Justin Fields was clearly laboring, and he got smoked a couple of times today as well. 17 to 33 for 194 yards. His passing yard prop was like 296 and a half. So he got nowhere near there. And, you know, I'm not saying that the outcome would have been different in this football game, Paul, but Ohio State certainly weren't helped by the fact that Trey Sermon got knocked out of the game on the first play from scrimmage. You know, that didn't help. I know the team got a couple of nice runs, but Sermon was a big part of the game plan. Let's be real.
No question. Gabe, it wouldn't have changed the result. Alabama was clearly the superior team. Yeah, it might have altered the course of the game a little bit, but the right team won, unfortunately, for you and for others that took it at 77 and went to the high side. It just didn't work out. But, Gabe, there's a lot of NFL playoff football this weekend, and we're going to make some money, as we always do.
See, Paul, you said you couldn't make me feel better. You just did. See, you just made me feel better with that. Yeah, I feel better. Yeah, I feel better already. So let's get into it. The Los Angeles Rams, this is where we've seen some, there's been some live movement, guys, and I don't know if Bovey was part of it, as we're kicking it with Paul Bovey right now. I am Gabriel Morenzi, Sports Rage Late Night, Sirius XM 204, and many other radio affiliates kicking it on the AM side in the late night hours. So Los Angeles Rams getting 6.5. It was 7. Interesting that this number comes down. Everybody is so anti-Ram. Aaron Donald is injured right now. Jared Goff is banged up and not playing very well. Yet this number comes down from 7 to 6.5 right now. Total 45.5 in the game, Paul.
Well, first of all, you've got a cloud of uncertainty over the Rams because Aaron Donald sustained a rib injury. And then you have Cooper Kupp. He's got bursitis in his knee. But the way I look at the Rams is this. I give him credit for Sunday, and I did have him penciled in for a win. Seattle's been really struggling on offense. Russell Wilson hadn't had a game over 268 yards in 8 or 9 weeks. But the Rams have taken on the Cardinals twice, the Niners twice, the Jets, the Pats, the Bucks, the Jets, and the Seahawks twice. Those offenses to me, and when I say the Seahawks twice, that was in the Hyde stage of their season, meaning the second half when they could not move the football at all, when they just couldn't get it done on offense, but their defense had stepped up. But if you look at the last time they took on a prolific offense, which reminds me of this Green Bay team, it was against your Buffalo Bills when Josh Allen picked them apart, went 24-33 for 300-plus, and they just had no answers. I think this Green Bay offense is just too much for this team. Sure, Jalen Ramsey might be able to shut down one of their stud receivers, possibly Davante Adams. But in the end, Aaron Rodgers is going to get the money. He's going to score probably 27 to 30 points here. And I just don't believe this Ram offense has enough to keep up, especially if Kupp is out of the game.
Paul Bovey kicking with us, and I can't disagree with anything you just stated. I've been repeating myself as far as the Rams are concerned. It's the worst matchup they could have gotten, right? I mean, nobody really wants to go to Green Bay at this time of the year, but the Rams already beat Tampa earlier this year. We know they match up with them. We've seen the Rams beat the Saints before. We know they match up with them. This seems like a tough spot for them to be in. Yet, if there's one thing that the Rams have done well, and Sean McVay has done well, guys, is win and cover on the road. Win and cover on the road. They've been road warriors over the last couple of years, and they're actually a better road team than they are a home team, for whatever reason it is. But listen, they've also owned Seattle. So I think getting Seattle was a good matchup for them. Remember, Aaron Donald said, we wanted Seattle. And we see they got Seattle, and they won, despite their offense being somewhat pedestrian, although they did put up 30 points. All right, we'll continue to break it down. NFL. Paul Bovey kicking with us. The Late Night Anger Management Class. Bring it.
Remember that state championship game you played in high school? Yeah.
We can't get over it either.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To any employers listening, we have a question. Paycom wants to know, are your employees spending their time being productive, or are they wasting that time on things they shouldn't have to do? For example, are they having to chase someone down to approve a vacation request? Are they forced to manage expense reports manually by saving their receipts, copying those receipts, and then stapling them to a piece of paper to add to a pile on their supervisor's desk? When they went through open enrollment recently, did they have to deal with a clunky benefits process? Did they even understand the benefits you offered? In other words, Paycom wants to know, why does your HR tech make employees work to work? That doesn't make sense. Paycom's single HR and payroll software can help make the best use of everyone's time by transforming slow, inefficient steps into HR processes so simple your business can move forward fast. Learn more at paycom.com. That's paycom.com.
If sports talk stations were cars, we'd be the one that you drove the wheels off of in high school, cruising for chicks and going to the game on Friday nights, then forgetting where you parked it till Saturday morning and you had to get your buddy to drive you around looking for it.
I think I see it, man.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
You want some of this, don't you?
Yeah!
Well, you need to know the winner, and I know the winner, so call me now.
Whoa!
$5 for the first minute, $2 for each additional minute.
You have reached the coach's hot
line. Yeah, lay it on me, coach.
In the game of my MA versus Cincinnati.
Come on, don't you realize this is costing me money?
Late Night Anger Management Class, this is Sports Rage. I am Gable Baranski. We're kicking it with Paul Bovey. Covers.com in the house. As the Alabama Crimson Tide beat down Ohio State. Ohio State loses Trey Sermon on the first play of the game. And their offense just was too pedestrian, for lack of a better word. They didn't strike. They never tried to go deep, really. Everything, they ran the ball a lot, even when they were down. There just wasn't a lot of aggression and urgency from Ohio State. There really wasn't. Even at the end of the first half, guys, there was 50 seconds left. and they just wanted to get the hell out of there. You know, the game was close, man. The wheels fell off. They were trading points. The game was close. The wheels fell off in the last couple of minutes of the second half, and they just really couldn't get back on track. They got outscored 17-7 only in the second half, but, you know, look, they got shut out in the fourth quarter. They did have two touchdowns that were called back. I get it. It was frustrating for me. Were they touchdowns? I guess not in today's football, they're not. So, you know, it is what it is. I just hate that rule. I'm not just saying it tonight. Like, I've always hated this rule. I've been bitching about this rule for a while. And, you know, betting against Alabama, man, it really is like betting against the Harlem Globetrotters. Paul Bovey, covers.com, with us. We're talking NFL football right now. So one thing, Paul, about Green Bay is, what do you make of the offensive line issues that they have right now? As, you know, it looked like they were going to get healthier, but they've got issues now. Bakhtiari is going to end up being out. You know, is it the end of the world for them? No. Could hurt them moving forward. But any puncher's chance that the Rams hang around in this football game, in your opinion?
No, because I just don't think Jared Goff is the man you want to rely on here. Look, at four of the last five games, the guy had, what, 234, 137, 198, and 209 yards. And at some point, he's going to make a mistake. He's unreliable. The quarterback differential here is paramount. It's at least 3 points in the number. Green Bay is home. Eventually, they will pull away. I don't have faith in the Rams. And by the way, I don't think that the Rams did play the Saints. I don't know if you mentioned that, but all I know is in the last several weeks of the season, they were really unable to muster up much offense against the Jets. You would call them a menial team, and against menial competition, maybe better than the Jets, but competition that wasn't very good to begin with. They just don't have enough firepower here to keep up with Green Bay. Green Bay will pull away. This is a bargain number, if you ask me.
One thing I will say, this is a crazy storyline as far as this game is concerned. Jared Valdir is playing off it. So an offensive lineman, he just played for the Indianapolis Colts against the Buffalo Bills. And now he's playing for the Green Bay Packers this week. He'll become the first player in NFL history to play for two different teams in the NFL playoffs. And I was wondering about this with Heinicke, actually, because Heinicke's a free agent. So I was thinking, well, if he's not under contract anymore, can he sign with someone? But no, you can't. You can't sign with someone. But the reason Valdir can is because he was on the practice roster. He was on the practice roster, and due to COVID issues, he was called onto the active roster to play in the game. So therefore, he was able to sign. The tweaking of rules opened the door for the Green Bay Packers to sign him, who are in need of an offensive lineman. That's some crazy stuff, Paul, isn't it? Guy was in the playoffs on Saturday with the Colts. Now he's playing with the Packers this week.
It kind of reminds me of back in the day, there was a couple instances of a player being traded in the middle of a doubleheader and actually having to go change dugout. It didn't happen a lot, but it was one of those fascinating situations of sports, and I found this interesting. But with respect to Bakhtiari, remember, he was out for the Bears game. The Green Bay Packers had a curveball thrown at him, and they got through that Chicago game with a comfortable win, and Aaron Rodgers was only put down one time. So now that they've had a couple weeks of practice here, I don't see a problem. I don't think it's going to make much of a difference. I understand the Rams do have a pass rush, but Aaron Rodgers is also elusive and crafty, and that will be the difference here.
Sports Rage Late Night. I am Gabriel Renzi, kicking it on Sirius XM Channel 204. Paul Bovey from covers.com with us, coversexperts.com. So the Baltimore Ravens, they were getting 2.5. It went up to 3. Then it came back down to 2.5, and then it's come down to 1.5 right now. Current number, Buffalo Bills, -1.5. Total sits at 50 here, Paul. What's your opinion on this one?
My opinion is Lamar Jackson is going to take matters into his own hands. He ran the ball 16 times. I went over the 68. He went to 76. comfortably over the number. Why will he be running the football? Because he doesn't have a lot of confidence in his ability to throw the football. He put up somewhat pedestrian numbers, as he often does, but because of his prowess in terms of running the football, he's going to have success. And as the Baltimore Ravens go, does Lamar Jackson go? In other words, if the Bills can shut him down, they'll have success. What concerns me about Buffalo is this. They've been weak against the tight ends. If you look at this game just on Sunday, Edmonds and Milano combined for 20 tackles. Now, Phillip Rivers, 12 or 17 to the tight ends, three of them, including Jack Doyle. I believe he had seven catches. The prior game, Gesicki and Smythe combined for 8 catches, and Noah Fant for Denver, 8 catches. New England really didn't have Izzo, I believe, available for the game, so they didn't have a tight end. But that's a concern because Baltimore does have a very strong tight end in Mark Andrews, as well as another one. So they better do something to clamp down on that, because we know Lamar Jackson doesn't really favor throwing the ball downfield, although Brown did have a good game on Sunday. But he's going to go the short underneath stuff, and the Bills better lock these tight ends down.
I was hoping as a Buffalo Bill fan to get the Pittsburgh Steelers in this matchup, but hey, it is what it is. The Steelers were the weakest team coming into the playoffs, and now they're eliminated. Not an easy matchup for Buffalo, but fascinating, isn't it, between Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. Both drafted in the same draft in the first round. Josh Allen went before him, but both these guys have been criticized. Both these guys can do big damage with their legs. Obviously, Josh Allen, a little bit more advanced passing right now, but a fun matchup between two pretty evenly matched teams here.
Well, I'd say a little bit. You say a little bit more advanced. I'd say a lot more advanced at this point.
I was being nice.
Yeah, you were being very kind to Lamar Jackson. There's no use in pandering here, Gabe. This is just let it all hang out. And I would say Josh Allen is a much more proficient, accurate passer at this point. If you're on a 2-minute drive or a minute and a half to go with the game hanging in the balance, I think 10 out of 10 would say, give me Josh Allen. I think the Bills are going to score here. I think somehow the Bills will score 27 to 30 points. So it's going to be up to Baltimore to outscore them. Basically, Tennessee came apart. They had a 10-3 lead, three straight, three and outs and a punt. And that's what cost them the game. And let's face it, they also put the clamps on Derrick Henry. What did he have, 40 yards in 12 or 18 carries? They did a fantastic job, but they won't be able to lock down the Buffalo Bills, because the Bills are so versatile and they can do so much that they're just facing a different animal here.
It's a good point, Paul, and I'm thinking the same thing as well. And I respect Baltimore a lot. I think they're a good football team. I like Harbaugh as a coach. Guys, they're 6-0 straight up and against the spread in their last 6 football games. But at the same point in time, they played Tennessee twice and lost twice to these guys. So, you know, this is the third time that they had played the Tennessee Titans in a span of 12 months. They knew the Titans, and they had been on the wrong side of it a couple of times. They played the Bills in the past, but this is a much more dynamic Buffalo Bills team. And, you know, it's a different matchup. Every week is different. I think Baltimore had Tennessee circled and really were happy that they got Tennessee. This is a different matchup. They're going to have to put more points up on the board in this football game. Buffalo's got to finish their drives, though, Paul. And, you know, what do you make? Zach Moss is out. Not the end of the world, but nevertheless, it does hurt Buffalo. You know, now Devin Singletary's the man only. But, you know, Zach Moss, it was a nice, they had a nice complimentary thing going on here. Not an easy spot for the Buffalo Bills, but you can also argue, Paul, that the Bills aren't getting any respect here. As good as they are, you know, 1.5-point home favorites only.
Hey, Gabe, I couldn't agree more. I don't understand that number, because basically you're saying that Baltimore is better, the superior team on a neutral field. And I am total disagreement with that. I think it should be the Bills by three. So you have value here on the money line. I may take Buffalo. I haven't decided what I'm going to do with the game, but I like my chances with the Buffalo Bills. Your Buffalo Bills, Gabe.
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. Late anger management class continues.
Coming at you all day.
Every day.
With more attitude than other lesser networks would deem appropriate. We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I want people to think about the healthcare workers. You know, we can say, I'll take the risk, I'll get on a plane and go see my family for Thanksgiving because that's important to me. I'll take the risk. If I get sick, it'll be fine. The problem with that is that you don't have a choice if you're going to get sick or not. And maybe you won't get sick, but you don't have a choice as to who you'll infect. And we don't have a choice if they'll die or they'll live.
That's Fiona Tulip, a grieving daughter who lost her mother to COVID-19. Fiona wants to make sure her mother, a Latina frontline worker from Texas, is more than just a number scrolling on the newsfeed.
We've got to think about the people who are working and risking their lives to save our lives. And we have to remember that we don't have a choice into how this virus acts. We can't choose whether it infects us or infects someone else, and we can't choose if we stay alive or if we die.
I'm Justin Beck, founder and CEO of Contact World. Listen to Contact World, the podcast, on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the source of live odds, line matchups, injury reports, and news you can use. But we just call it
the Winning Edge.
Keep it here.
There's plenty to go around.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
And you know what? It'll be nice having a little extra cash to bet on college football. Yeah, I'd like to bet $100.
You want to pick a team?
No, just take it.
Late Night Anger Management Class continues. I'm Renzi throwing it down. Shout out to all of our radio affiliates. Paul Bovey kicking with us. Covers.com, covers experts in the house. Alabama rolls this evening, but we're talking NFL right now. All right, that's driving me crazy. If we can, will we come back all the time? Can we please have Paul's level down until we bring him back up? Like, we'll bring him in back right now since it's not going to happen. Paul Bovey joins us. What's up, Paul?
Gabe, I'm all good, baby. All right, let's not talk about that Ohio State debacle, though. Let's hit these playoffs and let's make some moolah, okay?
All right, yeah.
Let's kick.
Yeah, we're moving forward, and I'm getting excited for listen, I'm fired up as a Bills fan. It's been a long time. I like seeing the fresh blood. We got Buffalo. We got Cleveland. I like nothing more than to see a Buffalo and Cleveland AFC Conference Championship game. But as we were saying, I do, like, seriously, Paul, like, you look at the Buffalo Bills and you look at this point spread, I get it. You know, but, you know, Lamar Jackson's a star and he's a popular player, et cetera. But Lamar Jackson's won one playoff game in his career, the same as Josh Allen. The Buffalo Bills are a 13-3 football team, let's say 14-3 right now. They've scored over 500 points this year. You know, I get it. The Baltimore Ravens are good, but, you know, the Buffalo Bills are 8-1. We include the playoff game now, 8-1 on this home field, and they're 1.5-point favorites, Paul. It's just baffling to me.
Well, I will say this. The Baltimore Ravens have gotten very healthy of late because they've been without players like Jihad Ward, Jimmy Smith, Marcus Peters, Brandon Williams, and Calais Campbell over the last several, I'm going to call it 7 weeks of the season. And these guys have been in and out of the lineup, and they're solid now on defense, which is going to help them out. But remember the last three teams they played during our regular season. They played Cincinnati, Jacksonville, and the New York Giants. So I think they're a little overhyped defensively off of this game against Tennessee, where they lost one of their receivers during the game. And once again, I think Buffalo has a little bit more potency at that skill position, and they're going to struggle with that. and they're going to struggle with a quarterback like Josh Allen, who they have not seen of late in terms of competency at that position. So I'm looking for Buffalo to nail down 27 points here. It's going to be up to the defense as to what they can do with Lamar Jackson. You can't let this guy run wild. Make him throw the football and make him throw the ball to Snead or Brown down the field.
No, I couldn't agree more. And I would expect that Buffalo is going to be pretty aggressive early in this football game, guys, to try to take Baltimore out of what they want to do, running the football, controlling the clock. I would expect Buffalo to be very aggressive early in this game. Total is 50 points. And I'm surprised that the Tennessee-Baltimore game wasn't higher scoring. I thought it would get there, or at least get closer to there at least. It never even threatened, much lower scoring. But there should be points put up on the board Saturday night prime time. So the Cleveland Browns, there's been no movement here. It opened up at 10, and it's remained at 10 right now. The total is 56 in this game, Paul. Everything fell into place for the Browns. They got the early lead. Pittsburgh fell apart. They're dealing with a different a different team now, obviously. How do you think they match up with the Kansas City Chiefs?
I think they match up great. And I think people are a little detached from reality here when it comes to the Kansas City Chiefs. I did make a wager on this game. I played the Browns team total over 22.5. Minus 16, and the venue where I played it moved it right up to 22.5, minus 26. Very favorable weather on Sunday in Kansas City. Of course, I checked. But if you look at this Chiefs team, prior to the Charger game, I'm throwing that one out. Mahomes didn't play. They sat the starters. But they had wins of 2-4, 3-6, 6-3, and 3 against the Panthers, Raiders, Bucks, Broncos, Dolphins, Saints, and Falcons. Now, Falcons only scored 14 points, but Ridley went off for 130 yards of receiving. Matt Ryan, 300 yards, and just couldn't crack the end zone. And the Saints, no Michael Thomas. Dolphins, no Parker. He went out early in the game with the injury. And the Broncos ran through him successfully. This team has struggled throughout. Patrick Mahomes, the last four games, his passer rating has been 100. I believe he's thrown 8 touchdowns versus 4 picks. So we've definitely seen some chinks in the armor here with the Kansas City Chiefs. And if you look at the Browns, they have 2 running backs that have combined for 1,900 yards rushing. They got back a few players off of the COVID list, notably B.J. Goodson, who is a run stopper, Malcolm Smith. Hopefully they'll get back Ward at cornerback. He was out on Sunday, I believe. But my opinion is that the Browns match up very well with the Chiefs. And if they play, I know it's a big caveat, but if they play mistake-free football, there's no reason to think that this one won't come down to the wire and that the Browns won't score in the high 20s and force the Chiefs to outscore them.
And I'll tell you what, when you're getting 10 points, Paul, that back door is open, isn't it? You know what I mean? They're down by 14. They're down by 16 late. You know, the back door is open. You know, you look at Cleveland, guys, and each matchup is different. All right. So the Pittsburgh game got crazy and it turned into a college football style game. This is going to be a little bit different. And as Paul mentioned, you look at the Kansas City Chiefs and look at last year in the playoffs. They found themselves in a hole basically in every playoff game that they were in. You look at this year. Their offense struggling in the red zone. They don't protect Mahomes as well as they used to. They can't stop the run suddenly again right now. You talk about it, Paul. Cleveland Browns, 148 yards a game on the ground, third ranked. Kansas City Chiefs give up 122 on the ground. Cleveland could just come out and play smash mouth football here. And as you mentioned, they're getting healthier. They're going to be able to practice this week. They're going to have their head coach back as well. They're playing with house money. There's no pressure on them. They beat their rival, the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Kansas City Chiefs are the ones that are Super Bowl favorites. There's no pressure on the Cleveland Browns right now. Now they got that monkey off their back winning a playoff game.
They did, Gabe. And, you know, you could look at two things. You look at performance on the field or you look at record. Now, squares always will look at the record. Kansas City was 14-1. coming into that throwaway game against the Chargers. Or you could look at the performance, which, as I mentioned, those skinny wins against those very mediocre teams. Remember, the Raiders had them by the throat on that Sunday night, let it slip through their fingers. Ironically, the best game they played during that stretch against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who they had down 27-10 before Tampa laid on a few touchdowns at the end and Brady padded his statistics and made it look good. But they have not been good. And I'm not going to go into the game, if I'm a Chiefs backer, and say, gee, I hope they revert to form. That's never a good strategy when they haven't displayed it. So I'm a taker on the Browns at plus 10, definitely, and that team total. They're going to score points here.
You know what's crazy, guys? This is one of these deals where at the end of the year, you look at numbers, you're like, man, I wish I would have realized that earlier. But as we're talking about with the Kansas City Chiefs right now, guys, the last time the Kansas City Chiefs won a football game by more than 6 points was November the 1st against the New York Jets, 35-9. Like, seriously, they beat Carolina 33-31, Las Vegas 35-31, Tampa 27-24, Denver 22-16, Miami 33-27, New Orleans 32-29, Atlanta 17-14, and they lost to the Chargers. Wow. You know, what can you say? You know what I mean? Like, the numbers speak for themselves right there. Obviously, we saw Cleveland secondary get lit up. They will be healthier. Yet, I'm leaning with Cleveland here as well, Paul. I really am. I like the points, and I think they'll have a different game plan this week. You know what I mean? Like, they'll shake things up. They'll run the ball more this week, try to keep Kansas City on the sidelines. Should be an interesting football game. But as we stated, guys, you look at KC, they just simply haven't blown anybody out, going all the way back to November 1st, Paul, against the Jets.
Nothing wrong with double digits with the Cleveland Browns here. Take it.
And we saw underdogs cash some tickets throughout the weekend. All right, so we've got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Speaking of the Buccaneers, they got it done. They got all they can handle, though. And it was a weird dynamic, wasn't it, Paul? Because there was so much talk about, well, Washington's defense will be able to do some things. What can they do offensively? But Heinicke did a great job moving the sticks. And it was Washington's defense that just couldn't step up with a play.
Well, Brady threw the ball 40 times and completed 22. So it wasn't like Washington didn't do anything. They just had some breakdowns along the way. They put pressure on them. They had some great moments, but they had some bad ones. But Taylor Heinicke may have just earned himself a Rob Johnson-like contract off that game. You remember that, Gabe. You're a Buffalo Bills fan when they gave him $25 million off that. But I won't bring that up, Gabe. I don't want to ruin your night again. So, but anyway, you look at these Buccaneers. I'm not impressed. I think last week I came on and said that Washington was a great play. Tampa Bay, you look at their last three games of the regular season. Yeah, they beat the Falcons twice. Brady lit it up against the Falcons, and he lit it up against that depleted Detroit secondary, which I talked about on your show, and I went over the team total with the Bucs. But prior to that, look, they were outplayed by Minnesota, and they won the game thanks to Dan Bailey. They were held to Brady was held to 216 yards versus the Rams. Against the Chiefs, 10 points, and they got those two late touchdowns, and Brady got 200 yards of his passing numbers of the 340. He got 200 yards late when it was 27-10. The offense has not been pretty. The defense has definitely holes in the secondary. The one positive thing, they get back Devin White this week, who had 140 tackles during the regular season, 9 sacks, 6 tackles for loss. But they may be without their other linebacker, Minter, who had 15 tackles the last 2 weeks. I am not impressed with these Tampa Bay Bucs. And look, I'm going to go against them. I'm not a Bucs supporter. I think Brady is a little bit overhyped here. I think their defense is weak, and I'm just going to be looking to make money by going against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I think this is a great spot. One other point I want to make. Yeah, it's tough to beat a team 3 times during the regular season. And I remember that narrative when the Giants were taking on the Redskins in 86 and had beat them twice during the regular season, like New Orleans has done. And guess what? The Giants shut them out 17-0. And when they beat them 38-3, Gabe, remember, the shutout was averted with 5 minutes to go when Tampa Bay brought in the kicker, suck up, to kick a field goal and make it 38-3 instead of a whitewash.
I know. And, you know, they beat him in week one as well. All right, we'll wrap up with Paul Bovey on the other side. Bring it.
Come on.
Admit it.
You do your own play-by-play in your head when you play horse.
Don't you? You do you, bro.
We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's been 30 years since the first episode of Beverly Hills 90210. 30 years since we walked the halls of West Beverly High and since we all hung out at the Peach Pit. Relive it all with Jenny Garth and Tori Spelling on their new podcast, 90210 OMG.
We get to tell the fans all of the behind-the-scenes stories that actually happened.
Join them as they rewatch every episode of the beloved 90s TV show from the very beginning. Listen to 90210 OMG on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Our goal is subtle,
but profound.
We want you,
Sporto,
to hold court at the company water cooler every Friday and Monday.
Get it?
That's the winning edge. All you gotta do is listen. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Let me get this straight. You took all the money you made franchising your name and bet it against the Harlem Globetrotters?
I thought the Generals were due. He's spinning the ball on his finger. Just take it. Take the ball. That game was fixed. They were using a freaking ladder, for God's sakes.
Late Night Anger Management Class continues. I'm Renzi, kicking it down with one of our favorites, the Late Night Hour, Sirius XM 204, Paul Bovey, covers.com, on the Covers Experts page with us. I like Paul's positivity. We forget about the national championship game and move forward. I just knew, though, after the first touchdown was called back, I'm like, oh, yeah, how is this screw job going to play out? And then the second one with Olave touchdown. And then they go to a break. It's like, oh, I even tweeted. I said, oh, this is torture. I had the over 80.5, and I got an Olave TD prop here that I sort of gave up on, to be honest. And we could have hit it late. But as far as the Saints, we're just wrapping up with Paul Bovey right now. As far as the Saints are concerned, you know, I'm not fully in love with them, but they do enough to win football games. And I like how they match up with Tampa as well. I don't buy into Tampa. I think they're a fragile operation, and I give them credit. They won the football game. Washington was scrappy, but you know, they had a quarterback off the street and limited talent to work with, and they gave them all that they could handle. As you mentioned, you know, the old cliche about beating a team three times in a row and all that, it doesn't always mean that the team that lost the first two times is going to lose the next time, you know, or will win the next time. Yeah, Tennessee did, you know, beat them two times and then lost, but I like New Orleans here as well, Paul. I feel the same way as you do.
Yeah, well, I Gabe, I got a couple guys trashing me on your chat, man. Some keyboard warriors. But anyway, I get a kick out of it.
It's Monday night psycho night tonight.
Yeah, I see that. Normally they're kind to me. Hey, guys, take it easy on me, man. I'm very fragile. But anyway,
we got to go, Paul.
Okay. Take care, Gabe. Thanks a lot, man.
We love you, Paul. Don't worry. The trolls will die one day.
Non-stop live odds, lines, matchups, injury reports, and news you can use.
What, are you not going to listen?
We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
QAnon is the world's largest online conspiracy theory. Followers believe someone called Q has provided them with information about a deep state cabal within American politics. More than 70 US congressional candidates have either shared or outright endorsed QAnon material, but no one has confirmed the true identity of Q. We aim to change that. I'm Jake Hanrahan. Join me for my new podcast, Q Clearance, a series that aims to uncover the true creators of QAnon. Listen to Q Clearance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV Licensing.
Yes, TV Licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.